I'll be reading from Psalm chapter 1, or verse 1 of Psalm 1 to 6. It says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction."
Thanks, Tabitha. Well, good morning and welcome. My name's Chris, if I haven't met you yet. It's lovely to have you here with us. As Jason said, it is a weird time of year, but it's a good time of year to reflect on the year that has been and look forward to the year that's come. And so Psalms is actually a really helpful place to go to help us do that. So hence Psalm 1. But before we jump in, how about we pray? Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you that you speak to us, that your word is water to us. It's life for us. And so, Lord God, we ask that as we read and reflect on it this morning, that you would indeed give us life, that you would cause us to sink our roots deeply into it, that we might be transformed and made more like your Son. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, while down in Brisbane, I had a bit of an epiphany about the fact that I was getting a little bit older. What caused that epiphany was suddenly realizing that I'm really interested in looking at houses and sort of architecture and stuff. Can't quite place when that started. One day I'm young and carefree, and the next moment I'm checking out people's houses and their lawns and stuff like that. I remember chatting with Beebs about that. I was like, when did that happen? She reflected when she was a kid, that was something that her dad used to do, and she never understood it. And there we're in the car, sort of driving around looking at houses and go, I think I get it now. Anyway, apparently I'm that person now. And while we're in Brisbane, there was a few particular places that we loved checking out houses. One of them was a place called Sandgate in Brighton. It was down on the ocean. It was beautiful. We used to, as a family, we used to go down there and go for runs and rides and all that sort of stuff. And there were some beautiful houses along there. And the ones that we liked the most were the ones that made the most of their ocean views by putting massive decks on the front of their house, preferably on the second story. I'd often find myself thinking, that'd be the life, being able to chill on my deck, invite people over for a barbecue, and look at the ocean. That'd be the life, wouldn't it? Because I'm a Christian, I feel like I have to Christianize that, and so I'd say something like, that'd be the blessed life. Is that your definition of the blessed life? Maybe you have another definition. Maybe a blessed life for you is a life where money wasn't a problem, where you could do what you want, you could travel, you could do whatever without having to worry about how to pay for it. Maybe for you, a blessed life is one where you don't have to worry about your health anymore. You don't have to worry about the next doctor's appointment or the next script that you have to fill. What is it for you? What's your definition of the blessed life? Well, I found it really helpful wrestling with Psalm 1 this week, because I think it actually gives us a bit of a different definition of what a truly blessed life is. I think Psalm 1's a great psalm to look at, particularly at this time of year as we look forward to 2021. I don't know about you, I'd love to have a blessed 2021, particularly after the one that we've had. And you know what? This psalm shows us how. It shows us how to live a blessed life. But it's particularly helpful for us because it actually helps recalibrate what we think a blessed life is. So let's jump into Psalm 1. And the first thing we see in this psalm is that the way to a truly blessed life is being careful who you let shape your life. We could let ourselves be shaped by those who live opposite to the way that God's designed us. But that's not the way to blessing. Being shaped and molded by the word of God is. Have a look with me from verse 1. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers." The psalmist starts negative, telling us who not to be shaped by if we want a blessed life. The psalmist is urging us, don't get suckered into thinking and acting like all those who go against God's design. And he presents it like a bit of a slippery slope. You start by walking in step with the wicked, casually hanging out with those whose lives reflect a slightly different understanding of the way to live. Soon you're standing in the way of sinners. Your life is actually starting to reflect their lives. It's starting to resemble those who habitually flaunt God's good design. And then before you know it, the next thing you know, that's where you live. You're sitting in the seat of mockers. That's who you are now. And the mockers aren't those who just live opposite to the way that God's designed them. These are actually those who promote and celebrate that way of living. Now, the psalmist isn't here saying, don't ever hang out with sinners. We're all sinners, so if we were to take that quite literally, we'd never hang out with anyone. And after all, Jesus himself, he loved to hang out with sinners. He used to eat with them all the time. But what it does say to us is that we're not to get suckered into the ways of thinking and behaving that is opposite to the way that God's designed us. So for me, living in waterfront luxury might actually be the opposite of the blessed life. Particularly if I had to sell my soul to corporate greed to get it, or if I had to prioritize money over all else and just pursue that, I might find myself dwelling with mockers. I'd have a spectacular view, but completely miss out on true blessing. The psalmist tells us a better way, though. Have a look at verse 2. Blessed are those who delight in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. Rather than letting our thoughts and our attitudes be shaped by those who fall short of God's good design, the psalmist says, let God's word itself shape your life. Delight in it. Savor it. Meditate on it. Not just occasionally, but day and night, it says. Let it seep into every aspect of your life. That's the way to a truly blessed life. That makes sense, right? I mean, the blessed life is one where we have this sense of contentment, this joy, this happiness that comes not from just filling every desire, but from living the way that we were designed. It's a bit like my mower. It's running pretty bad at the moment. It desperately needs a service. Every time I start it, it sort of puffs out this blue smoke, sort of keeps doing that as I mow. In the manual, it tells me to service it regularly, make sure the oil's changed, change the air filter, do all that sort of stuff. And sometimes I do it. But recently, I've let it slip. And so it's running like a dog, honestly. And that's what happens when you run a mower in a way that it wasn't designed to run. And it's the same with us. We can't expect to live a blessed life, a truly blessed life, unless we're living the way that we were designed. Because that's the definition of a blessed life. And what we were designed for is to live for God and his glory. We aren't designed just to live for ourselves and our pleasure. Even though maxing out that is what those around us, our world, our social media would tell us is the truly blessed life. Living a life where no one can tell us what to do, where we can just do what we want without any constraint. But when we try to live like that, when we try to live purely for ourselves, we're actually not living the way that we were designed, and our lives end up running like a dog too. But God's given us his word to show us how we were designed to live. And this psalm says that when we delight in it, when we meditate on it and let it permeate and shape our lives, that's the way to true blessedness. But in case you're thinking, okay, great, I'll just go out and read the Bible, it'll be like an instruction manual, I'll just nail it and life will be great. I suggest we actually can't. Because there is actually something deep and fundamental in us. We have sinful, fallen hearts that are far more prone to delight in the way of mockers. That actually our instinct with the Word of God is not to feel like it's setting us free, it's showing us how best to live. We can often feel like it's just telling us all these things that we can't do. And we can feel like it's restrictive. That's what our natural hearts are like. You know, there's actually only one man who has fulfilled Psalm 1 perfectly. There's only one man who's delighted himself in the law of the Lord and let it shape his entire life. And that's the very Word of God incarnate himself, Jesus. He's the only one who is the truly blessed one of Psalm 1. But he knew that there was no way for us to experience this blessed life without him, which is why he came, which is why he took on flesh and fulfilled this psalm. He submitted to God's word on our behalf. And it's actually when we walk with him, when we are planted in him, letting him shape our hearts and lives by his word, that we can find true blessing. We can't go straight line to scripture. We have to go through Christ if we want a truly blessed life. And so are you walking with Christ? Are you letting his word shape your life? We're always facing that choice in this life. Who are we going to let shape us? What things are we going to let our hearts meditate on? In preparing this talk, I had to ask myself the really hard question of what things am I letting shape my attitudes? What influences am I allowing into my life to shape the way that I live? And I suspect for me, I allow Netflix and social media to have far too big of an influence on me. Because don't be fooled, those things aren't neutral, right? They're actually holding out to us a vision of what they would consider the blessed life, the good life. But so often it's a vision centered on us and our pleasure, on doing what we want to be, being true to ourselves and not letting anyone stand in our way. So when I think about that, can I say that I'm walking in step with Jesus? Am I following in his footsteps, delighting in the law of the Lord when I spend sort of 10, 15 minutes in the morning reading God's word and then proceed to spend hours in the evening binging on Netflix? Now, God's word's powerful, right? It's what he uses to shape us to be more like Christ. But from a human responsibility perspective, does that mean that I can subject myself to hours of content that presents a vision of a blessed life that's actually contrary to what God shows us in his word and think that I can come away unaffected? I suspect not. If we want a blessed life, if we want the sort of life we were designed for, can I suggest that we want to be extremely careful about what influences we let come in and shape our attitudes and desires? If we want to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, we want to let what shaped him shape us. We want to meditate on God's word. And the idea behind that word meditate is basically, it's the idea of preaching to yourself. It's actually applying God's word, having read it, applying it to all of life. And that might look like when you are actually watching Netflix going, what is the vision of the good life that it's holding out to me? Is that actually consistent with what God's word say that we were designed for? Or is there actually a difference there? How can I actually not let that shape my attitudes? How can I let my attitudes instead be shaped by God's word? Or it might be when we're getting caught up in sort of the Boxing Day sales frenzy, letting God's word actually ask us the question, are we giving into greed at this point? But more than just sort of critiquing our attitudes and maybe exposing sin in us, it's good to let the Word of God do that. We also want to actually preach the Word of God to us when we're hurting or when we're suffering. When we're feeling anxious about something that we've got coming up, what does God's Word say to you in your anxiety? What does God say about His control over all things and the constant refrain, don't be afraid? How do we apply God's Word to our hearts when we're feeling deeply lonely or we're feeling like we're suffering? We can apply God's words to our hearts by reminding ourselves that God is the God of all comfort, that delights to comfort us in our weakness and in our suffering. It's as we face all of life and preach to ourselves the Word of God, that's when we're meditating on it. That's how we can follow in Jesus' footsteps and delight in God's Word, preaching it to ourselves and letting that shape us and shape our attitudes. That's what leads to a truly blessed life, this psalm says. And as we keep reading, we actually discover why this blessed life is so good. And it's good because it's fruitful and it lasts. Have a look at verse 3. That person, that blessed person, is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. The one who's blessed, the one who delights in the law of the Lord, in the Word of God, is like a tree planted by streams of water. They'll be fruitful. They're like the mango trees that I see down beside Ross River. Only these blessed ones that this psalm is talking about, they're not just growing wild. They don't just happen to be by these streams of water. No, God has planted them there for a reason. He's planted them by streams of water. And these streams aren't just any old creek that might dry up. We know those sorts of creeks in Queensland, don't we? No, these are irrigation canals that it's talking about. Because those who God's planted, they're drought-proof. Nothing is going to stop them producing fruit. Nothing's going to stop them producing the fruit of Christ-likeness. I think that's the fruit that it's talking about. Increasingly being conformed to the image of God, image of Christ, increasingly loving God and loving our neighbor like we were designed for. This is what those who are blessed are like. And they're able to bear this kind of fruit because their roots are sunk down into Christ, who's the ultimate stream of living water. The New Testament picks up on this language and shows that Jesus is the source of true living water. It's Christ's life that produces this growth and this fruitfulness in those who are blessed. And this means they're stable. They're secure. They're not going anywhere. Something that those apart from Christ can never experience. Have a look at verse 4. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. The wicked are the opposite of planted and fruitful. They're compared to the dry husks of wheat. That's what chaff is. It's this sort of insubstantial stuff that just blows away. I have a little bit of experience with stuff like this. As some of you might know, I roast my own coffee. And when I started roasting, I learned that I had to do this outside because coffee beans, green, come with this very fine little skin around the outside that flakes off when you roast it. And so when you pull the roast coffee out, if you're not careful and if you get this slightest gust of breeze, this stuff goes everywhere. It's like it's snowing. I learned that the hard way the first time I did it. And so now, when I roast coffee, I have to make sure I do it outside. And I've discovered that the easiest way to separate this chaff, this husk, from the coffee that I actually want to drink is I keep it in the roasting cage and I get my Makita 18-volt blower and just blow it. And the chaff is so light that it just goes everywhere and disperses. It's great. It's easy as. That's what the wicked are like in this psalm. They're dry and insubstantial. They just float away in the breeze. Particularly when viewed from an eternal perspective. This is what the psalm gives us in the last two verses. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. But the way of the wicked leads to destruction. The reason they're considered so insubstantial is that unlike the blessed, they won't stand in the judgment. Instead, they'll face destruction. When they come face to face with Jesus, when he returns to judge, they won't stand. They'll fall. They'll face an eternity apart from the life-giving goodness of God. They'll miss out on being part of the assembly of the righteous. Those who've put their trust in Christ, who've been washed by him, they will come through that final judgment and into glory. They will get to experience perfect, everlasting blessedness with their Creator. But this is a really helpful reminder for us. We so need this psalm because it actually shows us the true reality of things. A reality we often can't see fully with our eyes. Because so often what we see in our world is the wicked prospering. We see those who exploit people and make a fortune out of it. Who find themselves living in mansions overlooking the sea. We can be tempted to think that they're living a blessed life. But they're not. Because not everything is as it appears. We know they can't take their house with them. They might have some pleasures in this life, but they're fleeting. And let me tell you, their eternal view won't be of the sea. And yet, if you cling to Jesus, even if your life appears now to be insubstantial from a worldly perspective, the reality is you're like one of those mango trees planted by Ross River. You're not going anywhere. If your faith is in Christ, you're the truly blessed ones because God has planted you in Christ and his life is coursing up through you. Even now, he's causing you to bear fruit in this life. He's causing you to be increasingly like Christ. And one day you'll stand in the assembly of the righteous. You'll stand on that last day. You will have passed through that judgment into glory. That's the blessed life you have if you're in Christ. We need to remember to preach that reality to ourselves so that we don't find ourselves lowering what we think a truly blessed life is to simply being about money or health or a house with a view. True blessedness is life connected with your Creator, bearing fruit now and in eternity, and in Christ, that is what you have. Well, let's pray that we would remember that. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that in Christ we have everything we need. If we've put our trust in him, you've planted us by streams of living water. So, Lord God, let us drink deeply of those waters that you've given us in Christ through your word. And help us be transformed by them. That we would increasingly be renewed in the image of God, being who we were made to be, loving you and loving those around us. Let us see how this is true blessedness. So we don't get sucked into lesser visions of the blessed life. Lord God, help us take that eternal perspective. And help us do that particularly in 2021. Help us have a blessed year this year. Help us have a life this year where we come to grow more like Christ and experience the true joy and contentment and happiness that comes from that. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.